Shahrukh started shouting more when some villagers who were passing by, they came and rescued her. It was a very close
encounter.
Very close enough. The whole story came in Meher Pukar. It's a Hindi Bhava magazine published in Manipur.
I heard, like this, I tell you. One lady was going to the field and, as you say, bangles, these, that, all there. One man watching her, and he wanted to rob her. And he followed, and caught her, and told her to remove all these things if he wants his life, her, if he wants her life. She said, no, refused. Then he dragged her to the Nala, this place. And wanted forcibly to take it out. Then she shouted, Baba, Baba, Meher Baba. Then he said, no one is here. I see who is going to come to help you.
Yes.
Then she shouted, Meher Baba, Meher Baba. Then at that point of time, only one cow or bullock, one came. And she said, yes, a cow. And with her two horns, push that man to the trunk of a tree, you know, like that. And she did not allow him to move. And in the meantime, she shouted, Baba, Baba, and the others, villagers, came, helped, and caught that man, and handed over to police.
Yes.
It has appeared in the Meher Pukar, and also the person who was there, was experienced, told me.
Yes.
There was another person who had a Baba badge or something, Alba, once, and...
That was Iresh told yesterday.
There was a person who had come over here, he told us the story about himself. He being a cashier in a big store, and being the season for Christmas season and all that, a lot of purchases and transactions are being done and all that at the close of the season. So he was working overtime with his account books and all that, daily accounts and all. He was working there in the night, dead of the night and all that. Lights were on, big store and all that. All of a sudden a man enters there, pointing a gun at the person. He said, come on, dish out all that. So he does not know, he is so naive and he didn't even expect any such thing. So he says, come on! And he presses the barrel against his chest. And all of a sudden he heard that little tinny sound there. What's there? What's that? What's that metal there? He thought some breastplate is there or something. Like, come on! So he pushes the barrel there again and again that tinny sound comes. What's there in that? So meekly he opens his shirt and says, well, it's a badge. Who is that? That's Meher Baba. Who is Meher Baba? So he begins to tell him from Pune that he was born in this. So he sits down on those round stools that are there, he puts his weapon on the counter there, and he begins to hear. And then what happened? And then what happened? It was now early hours of the morning, dawn time now. He heard the whole story of Meher Baba. So fascinated all that. So he thanks him, lifts his felt hat that was there and goes away forgetting the weapon. And the man is stunned, you know. And all of a sudden he sights the weapon there. So he picks the weapon up and runs after him and says, Mr. And then he hands over the weapon. Thank you very much.
You mean, Baba,
there
was so secretive about
Meher
Baba that you got to have it out with
him finally. So the man told him the story about his encounter with such a person. Just with Baba Bhakti. Yeah.
It happened in India or in the West?
In the West, America.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, remember the story of Patty Thorne this year that she told about?
What was that?
This young woman came here this year, and she worked as a waitress in a job during the night. She was there, she had to work like the late shift. Yeah. So she wouldn't get off till early hours of the morning. You know, like till 2:30 or 3 in the morning, her shift stopped. And she was poor. So even though there was a parking lot where you could pay a fee and park your car, because she couldn't afford on her salary to pay, you know, nightly to have her car parked in the adjoining parking lot, she would find a place for her car along the wharf, because this was at the beach, so there was a pier and a wharf. And of course, she would always have to walk alone. There was no one to accompany her. And she said, being the early years of her coming to Baba, she always just felt Baba would take care of her. You know, people would say, are you worried? Are you scared? She goes, oh, I have Baba. One night she went home and she has a dream. And in the dream, some men, this is a dream, some men come from behind and they grab her. And she remains really calm. And in the dream, she looks up at them and says, may her Baba loves you. May her Baba loves you. And they just stagger away. And she wakes up, and it was very vivid. She goes, gee, that's strange. What a strange dream. Two nights pass, and it's her job time to take that late shift. She goes for her job. She can't find a place close, so she has to park her car way on the end of this pier, you know, where the street adjoins the pier. So she's walking late at night under this ramp where her car is parked, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, come two men. One grabs her this way, and the other one grabs the other way and also has, I'm not sure if it was a knife or gun, and they just say, you know what we're going to do to you? And all of a sudden she looks, and she remembers the dream she had two nights before, and calmly she says, do you know, may her Baba loves you. May her Baba loves you. And the man behind her kind of like is shocked. But the man in front of her who's holding the weapon goes, stop it, stop it. I can't stand the light. What are you doing? And he runs off. Both of them run off. Yeah. Yeah, can you believe?
That's amazing.
I know. Real shocking story.
And do you remember, Kamala, this York story in my minutes? This is some years ago when somebody was newly heard of Baba at somewhere in New York, newly heard of Baba at the Baba meeting. And she went out of curiosity or what the circumstances were, I cannot recall anything except the fact that there she heard a lot about Baba. She didn't seem to consciously receive. She didn't become a Baba lover, but she had some instances where you called out to Baba and Baba was there. You know, he's always ready to be with you, to help you. You just have to call out on him. And I said, oh, sir, well, it's all right, fine, nice people. And she came away. And then that night or the next night, when she was coming home, this is by Judith Chartwell, at the front door was this man. And there was nobody on the road, there was nobody in the other flat, there was nobody at the entrance door. Now she had to pass by him to get in there. And the way he was standing and he was whistling, and she just didn't know what to do. And she just kept saying, So she said, what am I to do? She's not a Baba lover. And she's very scared. The whole, you know, you can tell, it seems. And as she's tapped it, now it was somehow too late for her to run. He was too close to grab her and too dangerous to pass him. And suddenly it came into her mind, wait a minute, this place I went to day before yesterday, they said if you call out Mare Baba, you know, something happened. Well, nothing to lose. I mean, I couldn't possibly. So whether she called out loudly or just within her, Baba, Baba, though she didn't know how anybody could come and answer. I think she said it loud, louder. Immediately a police car came and stopped it. Stopped it. Man just looked. And now it was, you know, for him he couldn't have to pass her and how to get away. His cruises crammed so fast. And I think they looked out and said, is there anything wrong, lady? And no, it's quite all right, thank you. And she was shaking all over and she went. And then of course she went back to the meeting.
When Baba says, I am all pervading, I am everywhere. I hear your voice everywhere, any point of time. This is this. This is all time.
I think he's saying, I'm with my lovers always. It's always there. He's there. All that's asked of you is to remember him, call out on him. It's all there. You've got to press the button. That much you have to do.
There's that fine story about that girl who got in, what we call, had an employment in telephone exchange. Oh,
telephone operator.
Telephone operator.
Ah.
That's a beautiful story, yeah. Because as you say that you just call out and I'm going to call out. So well, the family used to come, they are from Nagpur. So the family used to come to Baba. They were very close to Baba. Father was a lawyer. And this girl has grown up now. She has passed her college and all that. Now
this experience happened Baba's
In Baba's presence, and
so
this happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
A sample.
Yeah, it happened.
Scene happened before.
So what happened is that naturally, now that Baba is not in Nagpur, whenever Baba is, wherever he is and whenever he is available, they come. So the family has come. So she has grown up now. Baba admires her. Girl, you have grown up and all that. What are you doing now? So Baba, I got an employment. Oh, you're working. That's how Baba would express his surprise. Working good. No, but I'm not happy. Not happy? Well, you earn money like that, help your parents around. No, but I'm afraid. I'm all alone. So what do you mean by that? What's your job? So, Baba, I've got a telephone exchange. Nagpur is a big place. There's a big exchange. Out of the city side, there is a big exchange. Big place is there. So fine, it's fine. What's there? He says, no, but I get shifts. Different hours are there. And when it is after midnight, the shift is there for me from, say, 2 o'clock till 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And then I'm afraid to go back all by myself. Because to come home is difficult for me. So I don't like it. All by myself, I'm all alone. He says, you are alone? How do you say you are alone? Yes, I am all alone there. I have to go back from the office then. But am I not there? How is she laughing? So you are there, but where? I don't see you. I don't even know what happens. Suppose something happens to me. Have you ever tried that? Know that you are never alone. Call out to me when you feel like that. Call my name and you'll find whether I am there or not. Yes, she got a little comfort. Goes back after 2-3 years, again that opportunity came here, at this place, and she comes. And Baba says, well, how are you all, this, that, the family, pleasantries are exchanged. I said, well, are you still afraid? No, Baba, I'm not afraid. What? What happened? Nobody is there, you are alone there? She says, no, Baba, I now know that I'm not alone. So naturally we were all around. She said, what happened? Tell us the story. So then she tells the story that as she was returning from her shift, night shift and all that, all by herself, what happened is that in a very quiet locality between the city and the telephone exchange. So she was in a rickshaw. The rickshaw driver was her own man. So the man hesitates now to go further because from a distance he saw that there are 3 people hiding under a culvert. You know, on the street there is a culvert for the storm water to pass by. So he saw the heads, some heads were there. So he tells the lady, says, there are 3 people hiding here, what to do now? So she got frightened. And as soon as she got frightened, she remembered Baba's words. So she started calling out loudly, Mer Baba, Mer Baba.
They came out of the car.
No,
they were coming out.
So they were spotted by the rickshawman. So she calls out loudly. So as soon as she called out loudly, Mer Baba, Mer Baba, all of a sudden, loud report. I'm coming. And then, we are coming. Not only I, when we became we are back, we are coming. And those people heard this voice, that there are people behind you coming, so they ran away. So now I know I'm not afraid.
It sounds like a bunch of them.
A bunch of people.
They are coming.
First we said, I'm coming. And then they said, we are coming.
Many voices.
And
many voices.
They said, in Marathi they said, alo, alo, so 3 different voices the voice was saying, Arun is coming.
Yeah.
But the voice in three different throats. So the chief found, felt that there are three persons are coming, and they ran away.
They said Aro, but they didn't say Aroha.
So Baba said that Linda tell you, you are not alone, I am there. Call out to me. That's what we
One of the stories happened in Tehran. There were two Muslim girls started loving Baba and brought faith to my mom. One is Munir Oja and the other is Suru Oja. Muslims, very hard to turn to Baba. Anyhow, some of them are fortunate or through Baba's nazar, they turn to Baba. But it is rare cases. So, they heard through some Zoroastrian about Mir Baba and they read Baba's book. Now, Munir is the name of a lady. Oja is surname. Her husband was an architect, government job, making road plans, government would pay him lumps of money, and he had to go to pay the workers, supervise the road.
No,
government man. So he was deputed at Zaidan. Zaidan from Tehran, 600 miles, 700 miles away. He had to go, it's a government job, high pay, government could pay him. Now in the house, 2 o'clock in the night in Tehran, there was no other person in the house. Only she was there and her daughter, a small daughter of her age, 5 or 6 years. What's your age? 7?
7.
All right. 5 or 6. So she had fever. She had fever. Slowly the fever increased and became very high. Very high. So she was alone, 2 o'clock in the night in Tehran. How to take it to doctor? Who is going to accompany her? She became helpless. In the meantime, she was sitting there, weeping. Then she remembered someone told her that at the time of need, you remember Baba, you call Mir Baba. You will get help. So she said, Baba, Barai Majadam Biyori, come to help me. Baba, no response. 20 minutes passed, half an hour passed. She again wept. She said, Baba, Biyori, Mandla Choran, I'm helpless, come to me, no response. And for the third time, she said, Mir Baba, Kujai, where are you, Mir Baba? And then suddenly, her daughter who was up there in high temperature, she sat and said, Mommy, why you have called so many doctors and nurses? I am all right. Why you have called so many doctors here and so many nurses for me? I am all right. No fever, nothing. And she like that, you know. She became so happy. And she told the others, and also she wrote a letter to me. And she, when she had come, they came 4 years back. Mehrabad.
Yeah.
Yes, they are very nice. They fell in love with Baba so much, they wanted to leave Iran and come and stay here. I advised that because of Khomeini and this and that, and government of India restrictions and this and that. It's not possible. Yes, no, not possible. Just stay there. Mir Baba is there as much as he is here. So they stay.
But calling out on Baba is very natural for us. Even we don't even call out to us all the time. But I had once a dream, many years ago, that I was in a building like a convent, but I was in a nun's and I was in the middle of a room. It was a big stone building, like the convents are, like a Pune convent is too. Enormous stone building, the huge grounds, and a lot of buildings outside. So So there's one room in which I'm standing, in the middle of the room. There's this big window, and I can see outside that window and see the rest of the constructions and the ground. And when I'm here, I have a frame in my hand, a photo frame, but there's no photo in it. It's just a blank frame. And I'm looking in it, and I'm just looking at it. Suddenly, there's an earthquake, and the whole ground shakes. And I'm clinging on to that frame, and I'm just holding it, and I'm calling out, Baba, Baba, Baba. In my dream, I said, better be safe on the safe side. Mayor Baba, Mayor Baba. It was just a short thing, and then it stopped. And in the meantime, you know, it had been like this, and it stopped. And the only room on that building was intact was the room I was in. And when I looked out of the window, nothing inside. It was absolutely blank space. Not a construction, not a wall, not a grid, nothing. But the room in which Baba's name was standing as it was. I mean, that was what Baba was physically with us, I mean, always. So that is why in 1952, when we were in the States and going across to California and had that accident in the heart of America, in Oklahoma, Prague, while the car was going, and Baba kept saying, faster, faster, to Elizabeth. And then she didn't see the car coming from the other direction over the little hill of the road. But that car was coming on absolutely the wrong side. But because that was her day, suddenly, the ones in the car, which were Mera and Meru beside me, Baba and Elizabeth, they were shouting excitedly, Baba, 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 you know, oh, Elizabeth. And I had my feet on the, you know, just the heels of my feet were just on the seat like that, and I was had my head like that. Even that, I said, look at them. If Baba's in the car, how can anything happen? Mm-hmm. Nothing can happen. And yet they, and then, but then I realized afterwards that Baba's protection is on his lovers. But this is for his work, whereas he has ordained what has to be because of his work. He himself is making it. So he cannot undo what he is doing. It's not an accidental happening. It's a thing that's been planned, that's been ordained. And then you know, of course, the story of Elizabeth, how Baba told her the date, you know, 20 yeah. years before.
Yes, she found that.
Yeah.
In the Bible.
That it was 52, it was 32. And Baba had given her this flower. But they were all standing out there. And the first meeting Baba in 32. And even at that time, she had that inner wisdom of love. Love's wisdom was within Elizabeth so strongly. But the others, and they were standing out with Baba, and they saw this on outside some wild flowers. So they walked over to the wild flowers and started plucking. Elizabeth didn't move, and Baba turns to Elizabeth and says, don't you want wild flowers? She said, no, I'd rather be with you, Baba, dear. So then, see the thing of giving up for Baba, how he gives back. Baba walked over, the slave of the love of his lovers. He walked over, plucked a flower, and came and gave it to him. He gave the wild flower. Here it is. And then he says, keep it. Keep it. And he said, write down the time, the date, year, everything write. I believe somebody said, but it's never been confirmed. I've never heard of it. And it's not possible to ask for it. But I believe the time, to, one of it is, he said, write that down. It's just the date and the, yeah. So she took that flower, and she put it in the family album, and she wrote the name and all. So down. And the family lived in Yukon Dunes in Merkel Beach. That's a beautiful place by the ocean where Baba, Mara, and we stayed after the accident for some time. Before the accident, before going there, we were at the center. Afterwards, we were at the Yukon Dunes. So anyway, accident happened. All that's different. I had to jump over it. And we've come back here now. Now she's also moving out from Yukon Dunes, her parental home. to go back and live at the center. She has built a place called Dilruba. She has put everything into the center for Baba. Her heart, her money, her health, her everything. And the Narinas support both of them. And I mean, it was in a, really, she put all of herself in it, Elizabeth. So there's some lovely things about Narina Elizabeth at that time. But anyway, so then she was moving up things. So coming across these books and to pack what I need to, give away, what I need to take to the center, no? Which comes, of course, as a family Bible. She happens to open it. There it is. 24th May, 1932. And the accident happened on 24th May, 1952. That's all. Just a matter of one number. That's different. And she remembered the date because she had to sign so many insurance claims right in the hospital. Yeah, this is it. Why Baba gave it to her? But, you know, don't think you did it. She might have to find somewhere, sometime. Aye. He gave her the date that was already. Well, you don't have to
know. No.
Who have become the star.
She's right behind you, man.
Not S-O-T,
by the way.
S-O-E-G-H-T. The Lord has to seek him out. Because I'm umpteen seekers in the world. But is there anybody who has become the sought? I want to... Where is he? I want to miss that person. So come so close to me that I miss you. And I am the one who tries to ask about, where is Eric? Where is he? What has happened? He's not to be found here? So become that. Do you follow what he says? Did you follow?
Eric? Yes. Uh-huh. How do we become the sought?
Well, getting closer and closer to him so that he misses us whenever we are somewhere, or we try to tease him, and we feel happy that he is seeking us out. We did our very best to seek him, and how he eluded us. Now let us see what happens when we are missed by him. That privilege, that liberty one can take, that closeness he wants from us. Did you follow this?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Don't become the seeker, become the sought. And then you'd say, not S-O-T.
Oh, let's become the sought.
But you know, if we seek implies trying to find something of which you're not sure. You're not, you know, you don't know where, what. Pursuing implies going after something of which you already want.
Yeah.
So maybe if we try and pursue him, always wanting to be with him, then that automatically will
make
help
you the
us
soft.
The soft.
Good. That's a good one, yeah.
One of those paradoxes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
know. That book of Shams is very good. Where is that book of Shams?
Shams Tabriz?
Yeah.
Seek ye.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the one you're talking
yeah.
about?
Then it will explain to you about what is being pursuing and seeking. So there's a difference between two. Many songs have been created in many languages, and yet it's not sufficient to adore him enough. Who could that entity be?
Who could that entity be?
Yeah.
It must be God.
And if you ask him, says, he'll point out towards himself, I am that. How many millennia? How many times? how many times he has come in our midst, he says, and how many million times I will come in your midst again. And yet you miss me.
So he must love this game then.
Oh yeah, terribly.
Yes.
That's the reason why he comes again, because he misses.
So we're all going to be detectives.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. I say, boom, he's coming. Footsteps. Baba's gesture for Sherlock Holmes was like this. Eris, we were wondering this morning over this question.
Yes. No, no.
Do you want me to look for it? Just read it out.
Yeah.
Ye who in search of God pursue, ye need not search, for God is you. Why seek a something which was missing ne'er? Save you none is, but you are where, oh where?
Shams Tabriz.
Shams
Tabriz.
He was Shamsi.
Yeah.
Is it Shamsi?
Yes, Shamsi. Mm-hmm. Master of Rumi. Mm. Read it again.
Yeah,
it's so beautiful. Uh-huh. Read it again.
Read it again.
Once again.
Ye who in search of God pursue, ye need not search, for God is you. Why seek a something which was missing ne'er? Save you, none is, but you are where, oh where?
Yeah, that's all. Yes, Mani, what were you saying?
Hmm?
You were
I was telling myself there would be no question. No, but hey, Jerry Baba. There would be no questions anybody would be having if the avatar was a woman. I told Baba once, I said, I know now why you always take, God takes a male form when he comes to earth. I said, because if you were a woman, you would have given us all the secrets. You would have told us everything. But not only don't tell us your secrets, but you're silent as well. So there you are. She's sassy again, huh?
I told him once.
Didn't you?
No, but I told him in a different light.
Ah.
I told you sometime back, we were sitting together and here I asked you as to, well, how is it that Baba always used to tell us to love him as the women love him? The women only. Then we won't suffer, we won't be feeling like this. You tell us all the time like that. And it didn't please me that the women could love him the way that he wants and we couldn't as men. So it was a puzzle, it was a dilemma for me, and I did not know. So when we came together after Baba passed away, and naturally I asked you that question, Mani, Gaber and Rano and others were here, we were exchanging notes, you wanted to know something which we you did not know and missed. And we wanted to ask something and so on. So all of a sudden in the course of our conversation, I thought of this and I asked you all.
It's a pity Baba never told us that.
So I asked you all and I said, by the way, how did you all love Baba? And you looked strange at me. What's the matter? What happens? So no. So then I told you all the story.
Yes,
and then you all were surprised and says, oh, he used the same technique with us. and you tell us to love him as the men love
him. Rano, she said quite early and angrily, said, all right, but all, every time he would tell me, you know, if it was the men love me, they wouldn't do this, and you should love me as they love him.
But in the course of this, what had happened was that this I missed, of course. Twice, thrice he would tell us, exhort us. So once I got exasperated hearing this, and I said, Baba, next time when you come, if you come in a female form, then you will taste the love of men. So then he said, it will never be possible, it is never so, because it is so preordained that each time I come as a in a male form. That's what he said.
Symbolically too, I guess, is that he's the creator.
Yeah.
And the preserver is the illusion that preserves, sustains. In God's speech, what did Baba say here? To the illusion which sustains
reality.
Yeah. So the sustaining part of the woman is the illusion, but the creator symbolically is... Well, anyway, I thought we'd be saying. Anyway, but the question that came up this morning was how... What happens when you lose something that's part of Baba, like Baba's hair or nails, or something that is very especially of special importance concerning Baba that gets lost? So is it really lost? Is it just an accident and that it disappears, or is it somewhere where Baba is directing it, or what? So somebody had lost something this morning, and I said, remember, I remember something that happened to me. You know, when Baba was physically with us, he was very keen about my sending out Baba photos developed and worked on by my brother Bairam in Pune, and then these would be sent out to America, England, Australia, mainly that. I think America and Australia, just mainly that. And Baba wanted to touch each one. He was keen to touch each one. So at the back of the, each picture that was ordered through Beryl Williams at first and then through somebody else later, there would be the name. This picture is for Harvey Roberts. This picture is for Devjani. This is for Kusumda. And Baba would, I would read out. He was six, and I said this. And he'd touch it, and sometimes he'd show the picture around to all. And his own picture, and sometimes he'd say, I don't care, Dad. So then they would be packed, and they would be sent. Once a whole pack, a big, what I used to call enlargement, a batch of enlargements, got packed. I used to have, you know, a pile of these beautiful photo packages that you could mail and send by Ella Winterfeld, Fred Ella with the angels who did all that. And send it off, book post, airmail, stamp, please do not bend, fragile, blah. And it never got there. One package never got there. There were about 20 enlargements, you know, big things. Over a dozen and a half. And when I came to know that it hasn't reached, it still hasn't reached, maybe it's gone by sea by mistake, you know, months went by. So I then started a tracer, and that took months. And it, in the end, it traced to England. It got somewhere to England. And I'm sure Sarah's got one of those pictures. I don't know. Anyway, it got there and then disappeared. And I said to myself, now what can it mean? You know, this is for Baba lovers. It means something. Baba has touched it for that. Why of all places? Because at that time, I was not sending out to England. There wasn't, the group was very small, and unless I sent to my own family, you know, there was not much of that. So England and Australia and America, but what was happening? Why did it go there? So at last, after all this time, I said to Baba, I said, Baba, that beautiful big thing of yours just never went. And Baba said, don't worry. And I thought maybe it'll be found or something. It never was. But I afterwards realized that Baba said, it's in its place, wherever it was meant to be. You know, it's gone. I still don't know anything about it. But just amazing. But then one thing happened. When Baba was touching the photos, you know, as I said, sometimes he would admire his own picture and show it around. Huh? I said, how do I look? And I went, good, huh? See? Then there was a big picture of Babajan. So Baba looked at it. Such. And then he bowed, you know. And then he showed it to the others, and he put his forehead to the picture. And I said to myself, that's not going anywhere. That's going to be with me. And at the back of it, it said, Harvey Roberts. It was going for him, but I wasn't going. So what I did was, I sent him another one. So I got another one. Or I don't even remember whether I sent another one. Anyway, that I kept. And I sent the rest of it. Now that I kept for so long, but only 2 years ago, or even just a year ago, I forget, or maybe 2 years ago, I said to myself, no, I might die tomorrow, and this is, why am I just carrying this? Now, Baba wouldn't want me to do that. So, Baba's putting me all my little lies when I was a little girl, but this is too much. So when Harvey came, I confessed. I said, Harvey, I have a confession to me. I stole your picture, and it's lying with me. And now I would like to return it to where it belongs. And you know what he said? He felt so sure. Baba had me keep it for all this time because he said, you know, it would not have meant to me what it means to me to receive it today. Mm-hmm. Had I received it at that time, it wouldn't have meant much to me. But receiving it now, this is the time. So it's here. Mm-hmm. So what is your answer to my question? What happens with something of Baba's, like Baba's hair, something that Baba's given, it gets lost? Or do I have to ask Alibaba? Where does it go?
I don't know.
Yeah, it goes where it belongs.
I know once what happened. There was Mehra's birthday that was celebrated here in this. That last 19, no, not that last, the one before, a time before. And somebody had given me, my niece had gotten married, and these people whose boy she married felt they should give me something, they felt like giving me something. And it was a little sari pin, gold, thick braid. It was a design of a braid, and it's gold. And I put it on, when else would be the occasion to put it on? And I lost it in the grounds here where about 300 Baba lovers, women were there, and you know, it was a real occasion and celebration. And I lost it. So I just casually mentioned to someone, I said, yeah, I lost that pin. So after everybody left, they told our servants, look out for that pin. So there were tarpaulins spread over the gravel. So they, before sweeping, they were sweeping it in case before folding it up and taking it away. They did everything. They were searching for it. And I wasn't very concerned. But I said, well, you know, all right, if you find it, fine. I was dumb. Baba knew about it. Baba heard, I don't know, there was just this, how it happened, I don't know. And so Baba laughed and told someone to call money. So I came, Baba said, we lost something. I said, yes, Baba. Is it real gold? I said, yes, Baba. So, are you worried about it? I said, no, Baba. Don't worry about it. It's a very good thing it got lost. And everybody came out and said, stop the search. You know, and it was never found. But you see, it can even be sometime when you lose something, you're losing more than what you just surfaced that you see. Baba said, very good. Very good that you lost it. Really.
Mommy, can I share a story with you just talking about that sort of thing that happened a few years back with me in relation to this marriage? I was married in 1984 for a very short time, and it was my first marriage of my dream, and it turned out to be just the illusion of 3 months in disaster that sort of struck. But nonetheless, an engagement ring, beautiful filigree antique engagement ring was given to me. The marriage had already sort of started to dissolve in such a short period of time. But to keep myself busy from the pain of it all, I used to always wrap myself into the massive garden that I had and didn't bother to take off this ring. So anyway, I worked myself into a real sweat of the heat of the day and decided to go to the ocean and wash the sweat away. And I had a very heavy four-wheel drive, which is the left hand to use the gears into operating this four-wheel drive. Anyway, I got to the beach very exhausted from working and, you know, all the emotions of everything. Yeah? So I got to the beach and I'm laying there and sort of playing with the ring, you know, to straighten it up. I thought, this ring is very dull looking because it had the brilliance of many colours, you know. It was quite a very large stone from this ring. But it was a yellow diamond, and it was the cutting of it was a very old cutting that brought brilliance of colour to it, you know, and that's what I loved about it. Anyway, I'm sort of sitting there on the sandy beach shore by this time, right? And I thought, this is very dull. And then all of a sudden I look closer and find that the casing was there, the filigree, but the stone itself was gone. And...